Good morning and welcome once again to Revelation. I'm so glad you're here today as we continue our teaching series called Five Lies That Destroy Lives. This is the fourth week of our series, and today we're going to expose the fourth lie. The lie we're exposing today is called the myth of materialism. Now, I know there's a lot of different opinions in the church today about money, but we don't need to listen to man's ideas. We need to listen to God's truth. Remember, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. But Jesus told us in John chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So once again today, we're going to look at the lie, then we're going to expose the truth and find the solution for your life. Here then is today's lie that we want to expose. The myth of materialism says, better things will make things better. Now friends, this is such a common lie today. Most people in most nations think this is true. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of us would have to admit that secretly we believe this lie as well. We think that more things will make me more happy. And so we do anything we can to gain wealth. We fight and struggle and lie and steal and cheat, all because we think that better things will make things better. We believe more things will make me more happy. What is at the heart of this lie? When we examine the root of this lie, it can be summed up in a quote from a great Bible teacher named Chip Ingram. Here is what he says. The myth of materialism says, my significance and value is measured by the quality and quantity of the things I possess. Possessions provide security and power, so I can be safe, personally satisfied, and rule my world. That's the myth of materialism. See, friends, somehow we've come to believe that the richer I am, the more important I am. Somehow the devil has tricked us into thinking that without great wealth, life has no value. We've believed the lie that material goods will give me happiness. But which is more valuable? Possessions that perish or people who will live forever? For a man comes into this world naked and empty and leaves the same way. All the gold and silver in the world cannot bring life or give meaning to life. We've loved things and used people when God wants us to use things and love people. Once upon a time, a rich man gave a party. He invited all the villagers and sent a special invitation to Kweku Anansi. Anansi could only wear his old cloth since he'd loaned his special kente to a friend. So when he arrived at the rich man's house, the guests were already eating and drinking and talking. No one met Kweku Anansi at the door. Nobody noticed him or gave him anything to eat or drink. After some time, Anansi went home. Immediately, he looked for his friend and asked him for his kente cloth. Anansi put it on and returned to the party. The minute he arrived, dressed in his special kente, the rich man greeted him with a magnificent embrace and offered him the place of honor at the table. Then he called for more food and drink for Anansi. When the soup arrived, Anansi gathered up his kente cloth and dipped it into the soup, saying, "Eat, kente, eat." Everyone was shocked, and they asked Kweku Anansi, "What are you doing?" "When I came here the first time, no one even noticed me," he said, "because I was wearing simple old clothes. Now that I'm wearing rich clothing, you embrace me, give me the place of honor, and give me food and drink. So you've not been honoring me, but rather the rich clothing. That is why I say, eat, kente, eat. It is for you." See, friends, our worth and our value does not come from the amount of money we own or the things we possess. We're all valuable in God's sight because we're created in His image. God loves each and every one of us. Jesus died for every man and woman, every boy and girl, whether rich or poor, black or white, servant or master. And we must not place our value and significance on what we own. Friend, I want you to understand the myth of materialism because it has crept into the church today. Now listen carefully. I'm not teaching you that money is bad. Not at all. God is not opposed to wealth. God is not opposed to the rich. He's not against you becoming rich. In fact, many of the greatest men and women in the Bible were rich. Abraham was exceedingly wealthy. David was rich. Solomon was rich. And in the New Testament, we find believers like Lydia, who was rich, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Joseph of Arimathea. All these believers were wealthy. But here's the truth you need to know today. Whether you are rich or poor does not add any value to your life in the sight of God. We are all special and valuable. And whether you're rich or poor does not make your life better, for there are many rich people who are miserable and many poor people who are very happy. In fact, the highest rates of suicide in the world are not in the poor nations, but in the wealthy nations. So listen, friends, the fact is God is not opposed to wealth. God is opposed to the misuse and abuse of wealth. You see it in the Word of God, a warning from the Word of God. Misused wealth brings God's judgment. That's what we learn from James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Now, this is a tough passage of the Bible. It has a strong rebuke regarding the misuse and abuse of money. But there are some very key truths that we can all learn today that will help expose the myth of materialism and give us the truth that will set us free. It all begins with a warning in James 5, verse 1, where he says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." Friend, did you hear what God's word said? He's warning of judgment against the wealthy. And some of you are out struggling and fighting to gain as much money as you can, even trying to use the church to enrich yourself when God is warning the rich. And we continue to study this passage. We discover that his warning of judgment comes from the wrong use of wealth. So let's talk about the three wrong uses of wealth we can see in this passage. First of all, it is a wrong use of money to hoard money. James 5, 2 and 3 says, "Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." What does it mean to hoard wealth? It literally means that you keep it to yourself when someone else needs it. And James is warning us here against stockpiling our possessions and keeping things for ourselves in these end times. But the first part of the verse tells us what is wrong with this. It says your money won't last forever. For you see, the wealth of this world is going to perish. It's not going to last in these end times. The Bible says in the end, money will fail you. In the last days, it will take a whole bag of gold just to buy one piece of bread. So think about the picture that James is creating for us today. This is the picture. If you hold onto your wealth with a tight fist, it's going to fail you. It won't produce the freedom, the peace, and the happiness that you think it will. That's the myth of materialism. The truth of God's word can be seen in the story of the ring-tailed monkey. Down in southern Africa, there's a very special monkey called a ring-tailed monkey. Now, this monkey is delicious to eat, but very hard to catch. He's quick and clever. But he has one weakness. The ring-tailed monkey is greedy. And when a hunter knows this, he can easily capture the monkey. See, all a clever hunter needs to do is this. He places some groundnut in the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle. Then he ties the Coca-Cola bottle to a tree and waits. The ring-tailed monkey will come along, stick his greedy little paw inside the Coca-Cola bottle, and grab the groundnuts. Then, with a paw full of groundnuts, he will be unable to remove his hand from the top of the bottle. The hunter comes along and captures him. The ring-tailed monkey can look and see the hunter coming. He can look and know that danger is ahead. But rather than releasing what he's grabbing and pulling his paw to freedom and running away, the ring-tailed monkey will hold on and hold on and hold on until he's captured. Friends, that's how a greedy man is. He hoards and stores and refuses to let go. Even when his life is on the line, a greedy man won't release his grip on things. So the first warning about wealth is don't hoard it. Then James gives us a second warning about wealth. He says, don't steal it. This is the second warning about wealth in this passage from James. Listen to chapter 5, verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now listen, friends, this warning has a specific type of stealing. James tells us if we withhold wages from people who work for us, then we will be judged. And at first glance, many of us might say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any workers. I don't pay anyone. Or you may sit and congratulate yourself and say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I always pay my employees. See, friends, I think if we're honest today, we can apply this verse to our modern society and understand that most of us are guilty of this very sin. We're guilty for failing to pay those who work for us or serve us or provide something for us. It's possible that every single person listening to this broadcast today is guilty of that very thing. How? By sharing music or movies or programs on our PC without paying for them. If you borrow a DVD and copy it rather than buy it, you're stealing. When you do that, you're failing to pay the producers of the movie who worked for you. If you refuse to buy a book, but you take it from your mate and photocopy the entire book, you're stealing. For when you do that, you fail to pay the author who did the research and spent years writing that book for you. If you download a song from your friend's album and refuse to buy it yourself, you're stealing. For when you do that, you steal from the musicians and singers who worked hard to bless you with that song. If you hire some IT guy to come and put Microsoft Office on your PC when you didn't buy it, and you dash him some small amount but never bother to buy the software, you're stealing. For when you do that, you're stealing from the company that produced the software. You're withholding wages from the one who worked to produce that software program for you. Friend, I won't lie to you today. The Bible applies to our everyday lives. We cannot pretend to follow Jesus Christ on Sunday and live like the devil Monday to Friday. Millions of Christians are stealing by copying CDs and DVDs, by photocopying books, and by taking songs from their mate without ever paying from them. The Bible tells us not to steal in church on Sunday. It's the same Bible that tells us not to steal by sharing files and programs and music and movies and books throughout the week. The fact is, the author who wrote the book you photocopied is depending on the sales of that book to feed his family. The singer who produced that album is paying his children's school fees from the proceeds of the sale of the album. The company that developed the software you copied without permission is depending upon those sales to pay their employees. And when we share without paying for it, we deprive others of their livelihood. If you take something without paying, it's called stealing. And God warns us not to abuse wealth by stealing. So God warns us not to abuse wealth by hoarding it, not to abuse wealth by stealing it, and then third, God warns us don't abuse wealth by misspending it. Listen to James 5, 5 and 6. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. So first we're told don't grab for wealth and hoard it. Don't steal wealth, secondly, by refusing to pay for what you've used. And then third, God confronts us with how we spend and use our money. Now, once again, friends, I don't want you to misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with owning nice things. But God calls us to live lives of moderation and balance. Even good things taken to an excess become sin. And I wonder how many of us today are abusing wealth when we keep spending and spending on things we don't need. See, you don't have to be wealthy to abuse money. There are lots of poor people who are abusing money. Anytime you buy alcohol instead of paying your children's school fees, you are abusing money. You may only earn 200 Ghana cedis a month, but if you buy cigarettes for yourself instead of buying food for your children, you are abusing money. Abusing wealth is a sin committed by many people, both rich and poor. One of the ways we abuse money is when we buy things we don't need. Brother, do you really need that 700 Ghana cedi mobile phone? You know, excuse me, but you don't have a job. You're squatting with a friend. You owe three people money. You haven't paid your tithe since 2007. And you just went and bought an iPhone? Maybe you think that iPhone is going to grab you some ladies. Maybe you think that iPhone is going to get you some attention. But Charlie, wake up. I'll tell you what that iPhone is going to get you. It's going to get you deeper and deeper into debt. Sister, do you really need that new outfit? I mean, you have 20 outfits in your wardrobe that you never wear, but you go out every time you get paid and buy another one again. Your wardrobe is so full, you keep your clothes piled up in stacks on your chairs, so there's no place to sit in your room. You have enough earrings to pay off the national debt of Ghana. I mean, how many ears do you have? You've got two ears, so why do you need 50 pairs of earrings? See, friends, the problem is not money or material goods. The problem is greed. The problem is when we love things and use people. The problem is when we take our value from possessions and trust in better things to make things better. And it's a lie. The myth of materialism will destroy your life unless you break free and come to the truth. So here's the truth you need to know. The wealth of my values is more important than the value of my wealth. You have to put more value in your character than in your bank account. You have to put more emphasis on your spiritual life than on your financial life. And when you value your values more than you value your wealth, then you are overcoming greed and living the life that God intends for you to live. How can we know when we have enough? How can we know that our hearts have not been given over to materialism? Well, here's the key. When your desire for spiritual growth exceeds your desire for financial growth, then you are safe from greed. So let's look at the three right uses of wealth, how God commands us to use wealth. First of all, he says, earn it honestly. Friends, the fact is God commands man to work. He said in Genesis, 6 days should a man work. And you know, I don't want to offend anyone listening, but let me be plain. Begging from others doesn't count as work in the sight of God. There are a lot of Christian brothers today who won't work, but they go begging and borrowing and asking for help from anybody they can. But listen to me today. God says if a man will not work, then he must not eat. I believe in charity. I believe in giving and helping the poor. But I also believe we should obey God's word and stop helping people who refuse to work. Listen to Proverbs 14:23. The Bible says, work brings profit, but talk brings poverty. But friends, worse than that is the practice of many Christians today to not only avoid work, but who try to make a living by cheating and stealing from others. It's gotten so bad today that there are many who would rather do business with an unbeliever than with someone who calls himself a Christian, because greed has entered the church, and even people who are serving as pastors and church workers are thieves, dupers, and liars. I was thinking about this the other day, and I came to a sad conclusion. I've been in West Africa for 30 years now, and the greatest opposition I have faced did not come from Muslims. The greatest opposition I faced did not come from idol worshippers. In 30 years, the greatest opposition I have faced has come from other pastors and people who claim to be Christians. I've been lied to by people in the church. I've been cheated by Christians. I've been robbed by Christians. Pastors have stolen from me. And it's become so bad in the church today that it almost seems like you can't trust anyone. And we need to take a serious look at our lives today. God has promised to provide for us, but when we steal and cheat and lie, we are blocking and preventing God from blessing our lives. Mark my words, you may gain something temporarily by stealing and cheating, but the money you gain will take wings and fly away. Illicit gain won't gain you anything in the end, but wealth earned by hard work is wealth that God will bless. Listen to Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. The second right use of wealth is that we must save it faithfully. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. God is opposed to hoarding, but he commands us to save. What's the difference between hoarding and saving? It's in your heart. For hoarding is focused on grabbing for yourself and keeping it from others. But saving is focused on wisely preparing for the future. You may think you can't save. You may think you don't earn enough to save. But most of us can save with God's help if we learn one valuable lesson. Don't spend more than you earn. Cut your coat to fit your size. When you think things give your life meaning, then you'll always be trying to get better things. But when you take your value and significance from God, then you'll be content with what you have. I've watched many people over the years and have seen one amazing fact. No matter how much money some people earn, it's never enough for them. When they were in the university, they started earning a small salary. They were struggling. Then they moved up in the company and earned a bigger salary, but their expenses increased, and suddenly the bigger salary wasn't enough. And when they got promoted, they felt they needed to get a bigger house and a better car to fit their new position. And suddenly, even the manager's salary they earn is not enough. Whoever you are, whatever your pay packet, live within your means. You will save faithfully, and you'll have enough money set aside in order to follow the third proper use of money, which is give it generously. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share with others. No matter who you are or what you earn, if you'll follow God's commands, you can make a major impact with the money you have. And that brings us to our solution today. The solution to overcome the myth of materialism, the solution to overcome greed, is that you can do it by generous giving. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. See, friends, here's the amazing truth. God can bless you more through generosity than you can grab for yourself with greed. You'll end up ahead by giving, but you'll end up losing with greed. Now, that doesn't make sense in the natural realm, but it's a spiritual principle. Once there was a wealthy believer in the U.S. called Captain Livy. He was once asked how he could give so much to the Lord's work and still have great wealth. This great man replied, oh, as I shovel it out, God shovels it in, and God has a bigger shovel than me. That's why Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You have to start from somewhere. You can overcome greed by giving, but you have to begin to do it. And that's why I want to challenge you today to begin giving to the poor, begin giving to God, begin paying your tithe. It will cut off greed from your life. It will overcome the myth of materialism, and it will usher you into a tremendous blessing in your life. You'll gain far more by giving than by grabbing for yourself. The myth of materialism has become common in the church today. It's a myth, a lie from Satan that tells us we will be better off with better things. We will be more happy with more money. But friends, the truth is, our happiness and our value doesn't come from our possessions. It comes from the love of God in our heart. Use the money that God's given you wisely. Earn it, save it, give it generously, and you'll find a solution that will bless your life while you bless others. Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I pray that the power of God's Spirit will bring the truth of His Word to your heart and give you revelation that will transform your life and bring glory and honor to His name. May God richly bless you.